This podcast brought to you by Hope 103.2.
On Hope 103.2, joining us, author of Read Me First, global speaker, success coach and entrepreneur, Lisa Stevenson. Thanks for being on the show.
Ah, thank you for inviting me.
With those titles, working in the industries that you do, clearly you have a passion for growth, and that includes your own, but also others as well. Why do you have such an interest in championing other people's success?
You know, I mean, there's probably lots of answers to that, but at the core of it, I'm just really passionate about people working out what the best version of themselves is. I think there's so much literature and talk in the world around things like happiness, but I think it actually really takes work to work out what success means for us and what happiness is and how we would bring those things to life. So I've always been fascinated by that.
And that idea of success, that I think is one of the places that you really do have to start first for people, whether it's in a corporate setting or individually, what success actually means. What does it mean for you?
Well, I think success is really personal and there's a few different layers in it. So for me, success is things like, can I make sure that all the bills are paid? Things that are really important to me are things like motherhood and travel. So in the way that I'm living my life, does that give me the opportunity to be the mum that I want to be? And financially, does it allow me to travel? I think travel is a really important thing to experience and it's something that I love to do with my children. You know, if I was bottom lining it, I would say success is understanding what my purpose is and being able to align that in a way that feeds me spiritually, emotionally, financially, and in my head, you know, where I'm learning things myself as well.
Feeding that into your kids' lives, that's pretty cool. Do they like to listen to the advice that you have as a coach, or have you not kind of broached a lot of that with them yet?
No, they don't think I'm funny or interesting. Look, it's a good question, and I get asked that a little bit actually. Because can you imagine having me as your mother? I want to debrief everything, and you know, I'm like, have we got a strategy around that? And I do think it's really, really important for our precious children to grow up with an ability to communicate and to work through what success means for them. I think we see in adults that often what happens is things get a bit blurred because we have the views of our parents and our friends and of our community and, you know, giving them the skills now to actually work out what do I value and what's important to me and what brings me joy and, you know, how do I create a future for myself that is going to be, you know, true and aligned and an adventure. You know, I think life is meant to be fun. And the other really important thing in that is that we are meant to develop a resilience. You know, I think life, it's not perfect. Very few of us get through unscathed, do we?
So true.
You know, I think we all get our share of challenges. And so, you know, coming back to your point around being a mum and having these three children that I'm responsible for, I'm really passionate that they learn to be resilient and that being uncomfortable is okay and that change is something we're always going to have to evolve through. And as adults, I don't know that we're always particularly good at that.
Right. Yeah, and I mean, you've curated a great resource for whether the kids decided to read it or not. The rest of us are going to read it. It's called Read Me First. And in the book, you are offering people a resource to look at before they begin the next chapter of their lives. This seems to be like a sort of 9-year journey that's led you to write the book. Tell us about that 9-year experience. What actually prompted you to begin the journey of Read Me First?
Oh, how long do we have? It has been a real journey and it's been pretty amazing actually, and heartbreaking and hard and, you know, lots of fun. So about, you know, 9 years ago, I found myself very suddenly a single mum without resources really to set my life up all by myself. And I guess, you know, where the book has come from is over the last 9 years, there's a whole lot of things that I've learnt about being responsible for ourselves and about really consciously choosing the life that we live. And working as a success coach means that I've had this pretty unique insight and ability to observe what really successful people around the world actually do to create the life that they have. So the book sort of came from a place of, I wish I'd had something like this 9 years ago.
Right.
That gave me the structure and the thought provokers to really choose and design the life that I wanted to have.
Were you a success coach before you got divorced, or did that come after?
Well, it sort of evolved. So I had certainly had a career in being a facilitator. I was definitely working as a coach. I'd done my time working over in London at Ernst & Young as a consultant. And at that particular time when I became a single mum, I was very much the at-home mum with my three small children. And there was a point in time, somewhere in the trauma of deciding that I wanted to create my next chapter in a way that was not about living the labels of being an ex-wife or a single mother. You know, I wanted to be really curious rather than someone that was in grief or sad or lost. I wanted to really find a way to say, well, what will my new version of happiness be, and what does success look like for me? So success was a really big trigger word that kind of anchored me, because I think when we get clear about what our vision for success is, it's far easier to work out how to get there.
That's so true. And because in a time like that, you do have to, you just got to get ballsy and decide, all right, this is the direction I'm going to go in my life, shake off all this other stuff and just walk forward. But actually getting to that place of confidence and believing in your own ability, no matter what your professional experience has been up to that point, to be able to actually do that, that is quite extraordinary, I think. So how did you actually sum up that capacity and that drive to just walk forward?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think I got that right every day. know, I think there was certainly, you know, let's be honest, there were certainly times I was, you know, in the fetal position in the bottom of the shower, rocking slowly. But on the most part, there was a very conscious decision that I didn't want to raise my children in an environment where they felt like they missed out, or life got really hard when their dad left, or... And, it, you know, whilst it was about them, it was also about, you know, me as a woman and them working out what my identity is in the world. If I'm not a wife, if I'm not part of a twosome, what does that then look like? And so I think, like lots of men and women who find themselves going through divorce, we find that there is heartbreak and lots of resilience that's required. And it's certainly a time when we're not at our best. And when I'm coaching clients and working with clients, you know, I really like to have a conversation with them about who are we when it's hard. You know, I think that really counts. When life is easy, then it's pretty easy to be awesome and have integrity and be good at what you're doing. But when life is hard and you feel like walls been ripped out from under you, who are you then? And that's also what our children observe.
And you have to decide when you're well, I guess, what you are going to be like when you're not well. In like, obviously, you can't fully predict how things will affect you. But I feel like if in a clarified headspace, you can say, all right, well, these are going to be the way I want to handle negative situations, that has to help a little bit.
Yeah, and you're right. We don't tend to prepare for this stuff. You know, we don't tend to sit around going, gee, next year my life might fall apart, you know, or when I go to work tomorrow, I think I might be made redundant. There's all kinds of challenges that life throws at us, whether it's about health or relationships or our career, financial challenges. So I think when life is good, sometimes we forget that that's the perfect time to be really thinking about, is this the best version of me? Am I learning enough? Am I stretching myself enough? Am I identifying opportunities to get uncomfortable, to build that muscle memory in what it feels like when things do get hard? And what does that mean? So how am I going to learn? How am I finding out what I'm really capable of? And who am I being when things feel hard, or I have an awful day, or someone hurts me? Am I really clear about what my values are to keep me anchored and aligned? I think the happiness comes anyway as a result of living a life like that.
Mm, yeah, you don't actually have to have everything going well to be satisfied. And there'll be many people listening who are in a season of transition. Life is about to begin its next chapter. What are the questions you think we need to be asking in those moments where there is a crossroad?
So if we're talking to people who are in transition right now, there's three things. One is, where have I been? So take a look at the past. What have I learned? What do I know about myself? Who are the people that have been true and shaped me and influenced me in a way that I appreciate? Then the second thing is to look at, where am I at now? So what are the challenges? How am I doing? What's working in my life, even though it's hard? And do I know what I'm good at and passionate about? And can I define a purpose going forward?
Mm.
And the third thing is to then look aspirationally at your future. So where do I start? You know, who are the people that I can surround myself with that can support me? Do I know what success will look like and feel like for me down the track?
Mm.
And really importantly, how am I going to look after myself from where I am now to where I want to go?
That is such a good bit to bring into it, because in the middle of all these things, you do actually have to be looking after yourself too.
Absolutely. Self-care is so important, and that can take all different shapes. It can be a massage, it can be talking to a friend, but I think self-care is a lot about things like learning what you need to say no and yes to in those times when it's feeling hard and when you're in growth or trauma. Being very aware about where you're putting your energy, your heart, and your time.
And I think it's really exciting that we live in an era where conversations around emotional well-being, mental health, even how intentional everybody's being in these kind of conversations, thinking about their lives and working out where they want to go. It's really great that that is so high on people's agendas. So what are your must-haves for looking after your well-being as you do choose where you want the future of your life to go?
That's a beautiful question. And I think this is at the core of us, you know, it's part of the human condition that we think about what we need to actually be emotionally healthy. And in the book, I actually write about 10 of these. But the ones that I find people most talk to me about are things like embrace the messy moments.
Mm.
Being emotionally healthy means that we understand life is not perfect, and there are days when we just need to stay under the doona.
Yep.
The challenge in that is, if we're being emotionally responsible for ourselves, that we have an ability to say, okay, so I'm staying under the doona today and drinking hot chocolate and watching Netflix, but tomorrow is a new day.
Mm.
Emotional intelligence, which is different to, you know, mental health issues, so let's be clear about that. Our emotional intelligence, though, is that ability to self-manage. I also think stillness is so important. Everywhere we go, we have conversations with people about how busy we all are.
Mm.
We're so busy. And, you know, being a parent is all-consuming at times, and then we're juggling careers and family and a whole range of commitments. And for someone to stay in there and make sure you find some time for stillness can sound totally irritating, I understand. But I think we underestimate how much our body and our brains need us to be quiet sometimes.
Yeah.
And, you know, just to give you one more example, something I talk about is like steal, not as in criminally from a shop, but steal ideas and concepts from the world around you.
Yeah.
We have got so many amazing people in Australia and in the world. We've never had more information and inspiration than we have today. We've got access online. We've got beautiful books available, speakers we can see. We know more now than we ever have about why mental health issues occur.
Mm.
So just spending some time to look around you and realise that there is a whole lot right there in front of us often that can help us to establish new ways of thinking, to learn what happiness might be, you know, and just to feed our soul a little bit.
Yeah, there's no need to reinvent the wheel. You can really learn a lot from everyone around you to be able to take your next step. And many people are, of course, going to read Me First, which is going to be a real, I think, blessing to their lives. For the people that do pick it up, how do you hope that it affects their world?
Well, thank you for mentioning the book. It is something I invested, you know, a huge amount of time in. And my hope is that people will read the book and walk away with an understanding and clarity about what it is that they want to do next. You know, I often think people can feel a bit stuck, and that doesn't mean that they're unhappy either, by the way.
Yeah.
I find that people reading the book might be in the midst of trauma, a marriage breakdown, or it might be something quite positive where they're wanting to start a brand new career, or maybe it's a beautiful mum who's ready to go back to work. And sometimes people are just really stuck. So the book has been written in a way that works you through what's happening now and all of the things to think about in terms of a successful life. And then it's got some structure around how to actually create your plan. So I love to fantasize and think that once people have read the book, they close that last page and know that they've got something to now work on that's going to create a difference for them.
Yeah, I see a lot of post-it notes being put up in bedrooms and office spaces around the country, Lisa. It has been such a pleasure chatting with you. Thank you so much for writing the book, and thank you for chatting with us.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Thanks for listening. Start your day with Life Words. Subscribe to Hope 1032's free daily email devotional at hope1032.com.au.